I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show, the 21st century. It's about energy, how you get it, how you pay for it, how you secure it, not only for the United States and North America, but for Europe, our trading partner in Europe. There's a whole lot of energy in a part of the world that is prey and vulnerable to extremism. That would be Central Asia and also the Caspian Sea, all interlocked in the, for some reason, peculiar for several thousand years, fought over land around states that are not permanent, that are very unstable. All this adds up to the challenge of pipelines, and this is pipeline politics. Bulgaria at the center of this particular story, because though it is a small nation and you don't think about it and you maybe make jokes about it, it has a population of a little over 7 million. It is now the centerpiece of a lot of competition and promises being made over natural gas. This story from Robert M. Cutler. Robert writes for Asia Times Online. Robert is a person who watches pipeline politics very carefully. He is a senior research fellow at the Institute of European, Russian, and Eurasian Studies at Carleton University. He also consults in a variety of fields about energy. But right now, we're going to dip into Bulgaria. Robert, good evening to you. Bulgaria just happens to be put by God at the right place. Why is it at the right place? What has to happen?
Well, Bulgaria is at the western coast of the Black Sea, and a lot of the pipelines that want to get to Central Europe have to get there somehow. And Bulgaria is, you can avoid Bulgaria, but it's right smack there in the way.
And it's in the way of competing pipelines, which is why I mentioned the politics. Now, there are several you mentioned in your piece, the Northern Stream, the Southern Stream, and this new guy, TAGP. Let's talk about TAGP. What is it?
Right. The TAGP stands for the Trans-Anatolian Gas Pipeline. That's Anatolia, which is the Turkish peninsula. And it is recently been agreed just a few weeks ago between Azerbaijan, which is producing a lot of gas and will produce more in the future, and Turkey. And it's going to run, the pipeline is going to run across Azerbaijan and Georgia and into Turkey on the eastern border of Turkey, all the way across Turkey to its western coast, and from there into southeast Europe. That's the TAGP. The Trans-Anatolian Gas Pipeline. Now, it bears mentioning that it is actually replacing almost another pipeline, which you didn't mention, which is the Nabucco pipeline, which people have been talking about for 10 years and was a European Union project.
And Nabucco, that was the big solution that Europe had to avoid the problems of Russia sort of turning the dial off now and again. There was that problem several winters ago when there wasn't a lot of natural gas flowing through Ukraine. So Nabucco was the workaround. That looks to either have failed or be in a state that is, we'd have to say, suspended. So is TAGP, is that an answer?
It looks like the answer for now, yes. It's going to be originally announced for 18 billion cubic meters per year. I'm sorry to speak in metric, but that's what they do.
I understand.
It's going to be scaled up to 24 and then 30. The Nabucco was originally planned for 31 billion cubic meters a year, and the TAGP is looking to scale up to that.
What does Russia make of this workaround, you know, not having to deal with the Russian natural gas? Is it in favor of it, or does it see it as a competition?
Well, Russia has been pushing for years a pipeline that you mentioned called the South Stream, which would go underneath the Black Sea from Russia to, well, they couldn't decide in the beginning, Bulgaria, Romania, they were playing them off against each other, and, you know, the dial stopped spinning and finally came down on Bulgaria.
So Russia has an alternate plan, but it's not now underway. The Northern Stream, that's the one that that Europe has been depending upon. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's entered into service just a few months ago. That's the one that goes underneath the Baltic Sea from Russia to Germany, and from Germany gets to distribute all the Russian gas that it gets to the rest of Europe.
Back to Bulgaria. You note that Mrs. Clinton visited recently, and she sent her special envoy for Eurasian Energy, Richard Morningstar, to Sofia, is traveling there. Why? What is the United States' piece in this?
Well, there are two things going on there. First, the U.S. is not as, you know, intimately involved in the negotiations as it was back 10, 15 years ago with the first pipelines that, were built. But what the U.S. has in it is Bulgaria has shale gas. And they even and they gave a lease to Chevron to look for the shale gas, and then they turned around and they said, well, you can look for the shale gas, but and we've given you this license that you've already paid for, but we just decided to pass this law that says you can't use fracking because we think it's not environmentally very friendly, and that basically makes it impossible to find any shale gas in Bulgaria, and the consequence is that Bulgaria becomes, which already imports 90% of its natural gas from Russia, it diminishes alternative sources.
The question then is, Bulgaria got a price. You know how it works, Robert. I know what you want. It's the price we're working out. Is that the game they're playing, or are they genuinely going to get out front of of the United States on the question of fracking and be more extreme than we are?
Well, the funny thing is that you'd think that they would have bargained pretty hard with Russia to allow Russia to build the South Stream through Bulgaria, but they don't seem to have bargained very hard. They haven't gotten breaks on the gas. They there are a series, which is too long a series and too intricate to discuss, of conditions and deals that they could have extracted, but they didn't. So it's really hard to say, except that that the current Bulgarian government seems to be on very good terms with, better terms with Moscow than some parts of its own population.
Pipeline politics, yes. Now, another particular piece of irony, because God established Greece just next door to Bulgaria. And I note in your piece, Robert, that Greece is not out of this, because there is a possibility of a second leg of the TAGP that would travel through Greek territory, and Greece needs money. They need guarantees of money. They need everything. So are they new players in this?
They are continuing players in this. The segments that you're talking about are the so-called interconnector Turkey-Greece, the ITG, which is, like it says, it's a gas interconnector that goes basically over the border and connects their two national pipeline systems. Now, the ITG was supposed to be part of the ITGI. The last I is Italy. But the connector from Greece to Italy never got built yet. So now they're talking about doing a connector between Greece and Bulgaria, so that theoretically this TAGP gas from Azerbaijan could go through Turkey to Greece and then to Bulgaria, and Bulgaria could get that gas and not have to be prey to the Russians. And also, they could export that gas further on into, because they could import more than they need, they could export it further on, get some transit fees to the rest, to other countries in Southeast Europe. But they don't seem to want to do that.
Right now, just asking, Robert, because you watch this story very carefully, is there any shale gas in Greece? If there's in Bulgaria, right next door, have they found anything?
Nothing specific, but there is some in Poland. In fact, there seems to be a good deal in Poland, and Poland is shale gas exploration friendly. So this is another possible source in the medium term for gas for these East European countries, Central East Central European countries that always bear the brunt of Russian gas cutoffs in the winter.
Dr. Robert M. Cutler is a senior research fellow at the Institute of European, Russian, and Eurasian Studies at Carleton University. Look at your map, consider natural gas, that is the 21st century energy source, and consider the workarounds, because the Kremlin can be difficult for Western Europe. I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show.